Morning Party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1. Ben-a-mail. It's Wednesday morning. You're just waking up on your Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Ah!
Good morning.
Happy Wednesday. It is Team Awesome Morning Party.
Hump day.
Steve-O, Mateo with you, and we will be here for the long haul.
We're here.
And by long haul, we mean 4 hours, because let's be honest, guys, that's a full work day.
Yeah, we got a tough job.
We do, man. We have to hang out with besties and talk about stupid crap for 4 hours.
Ah.
It's so hard. So hard, guys. I wonder why nobody takes us seriously and why nobody thinks we have real jobs.
At least it's not a coal mine.
Yeah. I was working on a coal mine.
Yeah?
Going down, 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 working on a coal mine. Woo! Woo!
You about to slip down.
Yeah.
How was your night?
It was great, man.
That's good.
Read a lot of comics.
I did too.
I spent stupid amounts of money yesterday on comic books.
I did not.
I got home and said, Chrissy! It's a big comic week. Got a lot of comics. For Comics Corner today. I also got my San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Jax.
I saw that.
Doll.
How did you feel? You changed clothes?
So yesterday I posted a photo of the San Diego Comic-Con Jax. How do we not have the Sons of Anarchy theme in here?
I don't know. Riding through this world. Bam, bam. All alone.
Bam, bam. Bam.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. So, yeah, I bought a doll. I bought an action figure. I can't say he's
an action figure. It's a doll.
It's really a doll.
It's a Pop Funko doll.
He doesn't have movable parts.
Nope. Do his arms even move?
No. He just stands there.
Yeah, it's a doll.
So it's
an idol. You bought an idol. You got a little idol in there.
Shut up. Jax Teller is for anybody that watched Sons of Anarchy, I don't recommend it. I got this San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, and I posted a picture of it because I finally got it, and Mitch immediately said, please don't bring those glasses back, or if you bring those glasses back, she hates them, because I have a pair of motorcycle riding glasses.
Yeah.
That happen to be the same glasses that Jax wears on Sons of Anarchy. I got them way before. It was totally different.
It was
like, whoa, we have the same glasses.
Whoa.
How did that happen?
No.
Totally. No? Okay.
Don't lie to people.
So because she said that, like, 8 seconds later.
Bandana. Yeah,
had the bandana, had the glasses on. Yeah. But then we got into a battle with Steven, who pretends like he's tough. Who was like, oh, yeah, My Little Pony. And I didn't comment. And then, like, 2 minutes later, I get this text.
Let's hear it.
Who says, nothing? And then he sent me a photo of his comment from Instagram. And I said, I just saw it. I'm typing right now. And he goes, sure, sure. He said, I kept refreshing because that was 80s comedic gold. And I said, aren't you jumping on an airplane? Because they're going to the UK right now.
Wow.
He said, that's why I kept refreshing. I'm boarding and I'm not going to see your response for hours. So he texted me to make sure that I responded before he boarded an airplane. Because he thought he was so funny. Yeah, I just busted you on air.
He probably heard it. He probably heard you bust him out right now.
Yeah, I just busted you. Just busted you, little
brony.
So
what'd you say in response?
I said, I will cut you, Morrissey.
That's funny. Little does he know, we are bronies.
We are! I have never seen the show, and now I feel like we have to because we have personas on the show that are bronies.
Now, there you go, man. Thinking we have to watch stuff for our job again.
But...
Don't think that. Look at me. We're not going to watch My Little Pony.
What if we watch My Little Pony and
Steve-O,
God's Not Dead at the same time?
Do you know what's happening? Now, wait, that sounds like a cool combo.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I get bored and God's Not Dead, I can just flash over to Rainbow Dash and be like, what's he doing? Wait, that's a girl. Oh, I'm bored of this. What's going
on
over here?
What's going on over here?
Right. Hercules is a professor. Okay, whatever. Now let's go back
that's
over here.
That's all I think of, too. Every time I see Kevin Sorbo, I don't care what he's in for the rest of his life, he's Hercules.
If they want me to watch that movie, they have to include Xena. She has to be a teacher. She has to be a police officer. You know, she got a role on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
This coming season.
Yes.
Lucy Lawless.
Did you see the gif, the gif, the hif, the heath
of
Wonder Woman and Xena standing right next to her?
No.
Because their costumes
Ooh.
Are really, really almost identical.
I'm gonna have to look at it.
Yeah. So anyways, it is Wednesday, which means Comics Corner. It's coming up. 8 o'clock, we will be reviewing all the new jams known as comics. There was a ton. On the way, of course, breaking news and birthdays. Also got some Noah Gunderson coming up. Steve Austin Morning Party.
No.
Static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
Oh, and here comes trouble.
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
It's time for breaking news. It's your favorite time of the day. Even though your day's just getting started, you've already hit the peak, so good luck with the rest of it.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it's gonna suck.
It is home day. Gotta get over that hill.
It's August 6th. It means it's less than a week from my birthday.
That's right.
My birthday. We haven't gotten any presents in yet, so I'm pretty getting worried. Starting to get a little concerned that you guys are not doing your job. Today's number of the day is 193, which is the average number of restaurant meals a person 65 and older buys each year.
Dang.
Hitting up those... those breakfast buffets.
Yeah.
Booyah. Firearms instructor for a Texas police department was demonstrating safety procedures to his family when he shot himself in the hand. That stinks.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still going to be the instructor.
Nobody knows.
The Princeton Review was released, and its annual rankings of the nation's top party schools are out there.
Chrissy's been at orientation with Corey.
Yeah.
So, like, she's been down at UNM.
Yeah.
Our nephew, Corey.
Nice.
Been filling in as parent.
Nice.
Helping out.
Doug, will you find that list of the top 10 party schools? I just want to know where I need to apply. According to the new list by Forbes, Sandra Bullock was last year's top earning actress with $51 million.
Dang.
That's how much she made in a year. Just a year.
Wow.
Also, according to a new list by Forbes, Jennifer Aniston was the number three top earning actress last year with $31 million. $20 million less.
J-Law number two?
I don't have number two, but I hope it's J-Law.
I bet. Think about it.
Maybe, yeah.
She was in like nine movies last year.
Was there
a Hunger Games last year? Or was that 2 years ago? She was in that. She was in American Hustle.
Yeah, it's gotta be
She did X-Men.
Doug, maybe that's a good list to get to.
I'm just saying.
Neato.
He won't do it. He's refusing.
Doug, get the list of the top female earners. I know it's against your religion, but you need to get over it and get me that list. It's okay for women to be in the workplace, Doug.
They're allowed to have jobs, man. It's 2014, bro. It's
Doug,
2014.
I'm sure that they've played, like, housewife in one of their movies.
Gosh.
Does that count? Not even if they're in the kitchen?
Come on, Doug. Doug's old school.
I'm not saying they should be CEOs or anything. I'm just saying it's okay if they're in the workplace.
Does that mean you're not going to go see the new all-female Expendables? Sylvester Stallone's working on a new Expendables, all females. He wants it led by none other than the raddest, bestest female action chick of all time.
Who? Lucy Lawless.
No!
Who? Ronda Rousey.
No! If I had a daughter, I was going to name
Bullock.
Her after her most awesomest character ever, and I'm not joking.
Speed.
Nope.
Who is it?
Her character's name was Ripley.
Oh, Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah!
Are they going to call that the Expendables?
Oh, my. Okay.
Bell's a common word for woman.
Right, yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a funny joke.
Yeah.
Producers finally folded under pressure and have agreed to raise the pay for the top three actors on The Big Bang Theory. And they got it.
Yeah.
$1 million an episode.
$1 million an episode.
And they've already signed the show up for three more seasons. So it comes out to $72 million over the course of the next few years. For each person.
I quit watching that show when you moved in.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a single episode since.
I haven't seen a single episode.
I know.
The thing for me, I didn't realize this, but the main guy was in Garden State. That Zach Braff movie, he was in Garden State. I didn't realize that's who that was, but I don't care about that. But I don't know. I don't care about Big Bang Theory. Who cares? And if you think about it, I mean, Sandra Bullock made $51 million this year alone.
Yeah.
Shoosh. Shoosh. A burglar was sentenced to 8 years in prison for robbing the home of home run great Hank Aaron.
Oh, gosh.
Why would you rob his home?
You don't rob Henry.
Mm-mm. And you don't steal from Hank Aaron. Get it? It's a baseball joke, too.
Right.
Because you steal in baseball.
Yeah.
Let me tell you where the joke was. This is a robber. And robbers like to steal.
Right.
In baseball, when you're running around the bases, you can steal at certain times.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
And he was an outfielder, and maybe there was time somebody tried to steal.
He tried to block.
Yeah. Much like this week when Pujols stole on Yasiel Puig, and then made fun of him for it.
I don't know why you just...
It was classy, and I loved it.
Why did you just speak Spanish to me?
Oh, sorry.
Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig.
What does that mean?
He's a kid. He's a kid who antagonized people, like doing the Mutombo finger wave, going, no, 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 not in my house. And then Pujols was like, just kidding, in your house. I stole from you.
He kidded him in his house. A woman snuck into the seal enclosure the other night at the Berlin Zoo and took a swim while her accomplice took pictures.
With the seals?
Yes. Quit sneaking into zoos and doing things with animals, people. You're going to get killed.
We're taking our kids to the
zoo. Is this not common sense?
I don't know.
Hey, everyone, let's sneak into the lion cage and see what happens. You know what? Let's go into the anaconda tank just to take some selfies with the giant snake that'll kill you.
One lady got her finger ripped off.
Now, I know seals aren't the most threatening animal. But I would be nervous if they'd be like, hey, this is a fun game. Let's drown that person.
Besides, if you want to swim with anyone, it'd be the polar bears. So that's who I'd want to swim with.
What an idiot. Drunken CNN reporter Arwa Damon is being sued $2 million for biting EMTs at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad.
Whoa.
That's what you do. You get drunk and you bite people.
Gosh.
You were right. Number two.
Yeah!
Miss Law. She earned $34
million. Gosh, that's still not even...
Gosh, Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, we got... Okay, number one, Sandra Bullock. Number two, Jay Law.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Jay Aniston. Number four, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Really?
Number five, Angelina Jolie. Number six, Cameron Diaz. Number seven, ScarJo.
Huh. I feel like ScarJo would have been up there.
You just wait till next year when Avengers 2 comes out.
Yeah.
ScarJo's going to bump up a couple notches. Because I think all of them probably have like kickbacks in their contract now. Gosh, you can't imagine that. Man, that's like crazy good money right there. I'd get that money. I'd buy me like four boats. There's so many places out here use a boat. I'd get me like a schooner. And I'd get me like a speedboat. And I'd get me like a yacht. And then I'd get me like a little fishing boat. For when I was bored, I'd just go out there and fish. Just fish around, think about my life and whatnot.
So many places for boats out here.
Man, I ain't seen a lake in 4 months. there ain't no lake out here. You gonna go in the Rio Grande with a boat?
There's lakes out here.
Where's that?
It's a little...
Point me to the nearest lake, expert. Nope.
No way.
No, that's a mountain. That's a desert.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
There's some lakes somewhere.
Is it a lake or is it a pond? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's right. I know everything there is to know about water.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a fisherman. Bob Dance, that's my name. There really is a professional fisherman named Bob Dance or
really?
Something like that. Something, Bill Dance? I think it's Bill Dance.
I feel like when sports teams move cities, they have to change their names. Because that just reminded me of the Lakers.
Yep.
Who were originally, the Minnesota Lakers?
Were they in Minnesota? That's funny.
Yeah. And then they moved to L.A.
I've always wondered why they were called the Lakers.
That's why.
You just answered a mystery for me.
That's why they're called the Lakers.
I really have. I was
they moved to L.A. where there are no lakes.
There's a ton of lakes in Minnesota.
Right. So
it's
they were
the land
Minnesota
of a thousand
Lakers.
Lakes.
You're welcome, everyone. Random sports trivia this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, they were in New Orleans.
Yes.
That's what I figured from their name.
Yep.
Say with the Toronto Raptors, they were in Jurassic Park.
Right.
And then Jurassic Park had a catastrophe, and they had to get rid of their sports team.
Right.
Because they were like, we're not going to make any money down here.
So then they Let's move them to Toronto.
That makes sense. Canada wants to be a part. Is Canada, when it comes to sports, is Canada like our little brother?
They were, but the Blue Jays are cleaning house this year. Or at least they were for a time. How are they doing now? Are they still tops in the East there, buddy? No?
Okay. No. Doug knows everything about baseball.
I don't pay attention.
I assume you're talking about baseball.
Yeah.
I'm talking about sports in general, because it feels like, except for hockey,
yeah,
it feels like every other thing's like, oh, yeah, Canada, you can, whatever.
Got that one team.
You want a team. Gosh,
and it's always Toronto.
Shut up. Just shut up
but
forever.
What about the Montreal X? No. They're gone.
What about Vancouver? Does Vancouver have a team?
For which sport?
Any.
Yeah, the Vancouver, well, in hockey.
Well, we're not counting hockey, because I think they gave us hockey, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so we won't count that. Maybe that's what it is.
Do they have an NBA team still? No.
Maybe.
Didn't they?
Vancouver?
And now, Grizzlies, right? Now they're the Memphis Grizzlies, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they went to Memphis, where there are no Grizzly Bears.
There's tons of Grizzly Bears. They're
in
all
Memphis?
Just, they're just people dressed up as bears. Now, the grizzly bears in Memphis are exaggerated hunter's tales.
Ah, yes.
Like, yeah, man, I killed me a bear the other day. It had to be a grizzly. It's huge.
If it's you could name a sports team in Memphis, what would you have named it?
The Memphis traffic accidents, because I hate Memphis, and the only thing that ever happens in Memphis is traffic accidents.
Okay.
The Memphis accidents. That's what it would have been. And every implication would have been true.
Amazing.
Every possible implication you could have in your brain would be like, no, that makes sense. Or let's see, the Memphis criminals, because there's a huge crime rate.
Really?
Memphis is one of the most dangerous cities in the nation.
I've never been to Memphis.
Right up there with Petersonville, which is my new name for Detroit.
Which Baby Peterson is in Lobo Orientation. Laborientation.
Laborientation.
With Chrissy.
Is he having a lobotomy right now?
What? No.
Lobotomy. Lobo. Brain Lobo. Surgery. Yeah. He's getting converted. That makes more sense.
It really does.
Lobotomy.
That's what it should be
called. That's what they should call Orient. Doug, if they had orientation and it was called the whatever lobotomy.
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 Lobo.
Would you go?
Me.
Is your favorite singer Bono?
Sonny Bono? Or Bono and...
Okay. Just making sure.
Bono and the Edge.
No one suffering from an emergency expects to be greeted by a recording when they dial 911.
Oh, no.
Yet 911 callers in Caddo County, Oklahoma were unable to reach a human operator for months in 2013. Instead, they were routed to an automated message that instructed callers to hang up and dial 911 if their call was an emergency. What? Someone's idea of a practical joke, maybe? No. And the FCC isn't laughing either. The FCC issued a proposed fine of $100,000.
To the town?
To the Hinton Telephone Company, saying the company betrayed its customers. According to the FCC, Hinton allegedly continued to allow 911 calls to be routed to the automated message for 3 months after they discovered the problem. The company returned the system to functionality only after being contacted by FCC investigators and directed to do so.
Damn.
Why did they not care about 911 all of a sudden? It's the most important number you can know. Don't call 911 for something's not an emergency.
Yeah, for reals.
Don't do that. That's stupid.
I learned that the hard way when I was a little bitty kid.
What did you call for?
I don't even remember what I called for. I just remember being a little kid and I was pressing buttons, and then next thing you know, I remember the police officer.
That's what every kid says.
Yeah.
You dialed 911 on purpose. That's exactly what you did. Yes, you did.
No,
I was just pressing buttons and it called Domino's. It's weird.
It's so weird.
And then I pressed the other buttons and it turned out it was your credit card number, Mom. And then I pressed more and it was your secret code that I don't know, Mom.
That's crazy.
Life is random.
That's how I got the Harry Potter Blu-ray collection. It was all an accident.
What?
What?
Did you?
No.
Huh? Guys, hey, play love music.
Oh.
Play love
sappy?
Music.
Sappy?
Yes.
Like, where are we?
Sappy.
Sappy.
Just sappy. That'll work.
What?
Jamie
That's
Kelly.
Sappy? Okay.
A 24 from Galway, Ireland was on a flight from Barcelona to Dublin last week. On the plane, he met a girl named Katie. And the two hit it off and spent the entire flight talking. Maybe making some goo-goo eyes at each other. I don't know.
Man.
I wasn't there. But before he could get her phone number or even her last name, Jamie lost track of her when they got to customs in Dublin.
No!
And all because he had to go pee-pee. It's real life. Jamie says, I was so engrossed during the flight, being the gentleman that I am, I didn't want to go to the toilet in front of this beautiful girl. So I used the time I had at the passport control to nip to the loo.
Let's be honest, when you meet somebody,
this is it. This is it.
You don't want to waste a second.
I came back out, waited for another few minutes, no sign of her anywhere.
No!
Yet another reason airport bathrooms ruin lives. After an unsuccessful attempt at tracking her down on Facebook and getting zero help from the airline, all hope seemed lost for Jamie. But with Twitter, my friends, it's easier than ever to stalk someone.
Okay.
All he knew was her first name and that she was from Nova Scotia. So Jamie enlisted his friends and they launched a social media campaign.
Are you serious?
To find her using the hashtags, #FindKatie and #LoveAtFirstFlight.
Okay. You don't think that'd freak her out?
No. Through the power of the internet and human kindness, but mostly the internet, Katie was tracked down by Canada's CBC News.
Wow.
Who obviously had nothing else to do. And the pair reconnected online. Katie says, I was obviously very surprised and flattered.
And creeped out.
I added that last part. When I was on the plane, I talked to him incessantly because I had just been traveling for 2 months in Italy and Spain, and it was just so nice to be around English-speaking people. Plus, I'm a talker. We had lots in common. Plus, he was very easy on the eyes.
Oh!
Katie and Jamie are reportedly planning to go on a date this week.
What?
Yeah!
It's pretty awesome.
See, Canada's news team, they help people reconnect.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? We need to read some of those, what is it, like lost connections or
yes!
something? We need to read some of those today.
Read some lost connections?
We need to pull some up from the Albuquerque area and see if we can reunite some people.
I love this.
Except if we find out that we're ruining stuff for people, then that's going to suck. We'll do it anyway. It'll be fun. Let's look at traffic.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Is that what it's called? Like lost connection?
Misconnection.
Oh my gosh! That's gonna be fun!
Ugh.
Doug, don't you look at me like that.
Epic.
We got construction at I-25 in Paseo. We also have the right lane closed, construction I-40 West at Unser Boulevard. And then, boo! Road construction. The roadway is reduced to 2 lanes at Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic!
Traffic brought to you by Solomon Sports. Good morning, Doug.
Doug, why do you not want women in the workforce?
Well, this is a long, complicated story.
Gosh, you guys.
Well,
equal rights.
I guess.
That's it. You didn't see my t-shirt? It said equal rights for tights?
Oh, tights.
Yeah. Because they all wear tights.
I like that.
Because dudes don't wear tights, so it worked.
I got tights on right now.
What?
Yeah.
Just ruined my t-shirt.
Today is August 6, 2014, day 218. There are 147 days remaining. Today's birthdays are brought to you in part by clouds. Clouds, a visible mass of liquid droplets or frozen crystals made of water or various chemicals suspended in the atmosphere above the surface of a planetary body. Thank you, clouds.
Thanks, clouds.
Thanks, clouds.
First up this morning, he was in The Homecoming. He was in The Agency, Band of Brothers, March of Glenn, High Stakes, Playing the Field, The Bill, Berkeley Square, and Reach for the Moon.
Boring! I have no idea who any of that is.
Jason O'Mara.
Hey, Jason O'Mara. Who?
I don't know.
He's been in a lot of stuff I've never even heard of.
Clap your hands and jump. It's time to have fun on a Wednesday morning. Go! 43. 41.
He is 42 years old.
Oh, so what, wow. Doug?
Next up. American actress, director, and screenwriter. She began her career at the age of 2. And when she was 7, She won the role of Penelope Punky Brewster in the sitcom Punky Brewster.
Hey. Wait. She's got a weird name.
I don't know her name.
Why am I blanking right now and feeling
know.
Like an idiot?
It's making me upset, though.
I can't breathe. Doug, what's it start with?
S.
That doesn't help me because
Susan Sarandon,
like Shia or something weird like that. It's like Star. I don't remember.
Moon. Moon is the middle name.
Moon?
Yeah.
Why can't I think of her name right now? I feel like an idiot.
You should answer quick, Doug.
I quit.
Salil Moon Frye.
Yes!
That is a weird name.
She was also in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Loved Punky Brewster when I was a kid. Yeah, I said it.
Is this the theme song?
Yep. Punky Brewster was my blossom.
Aw. Pepper Ann was my blossom. Pepper Ann was a cartoon, though, so it didn't... It's weird.
She is 37.
I'm going to say she's 36.
She is 38.
Ah! So close.
So close.
Next up, an American television, film, and stage actress. She's best known for her role as Annie Camden on the long-running television series Seventh Heaven.
What?
She was Dr. Gillian Taylor in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. And she was Karen Barkley in Child's Play.
Oh, she's the mom in Seventh Heaven. Okay.
Where can you go?
Who are you right now?
Seventh Heaven singer.
I have never seen this show.
Jessica Biel.
What?
She was in this. Jessica Biel, Beverly Mitchell.
Yeah.
Nope.
The dad.
Mackenzie Rosman.
Who's that?
I don't know, the little girl.
Oh.
Adam
Levine?
LaVorga.
John Travolta was in this show.
What?
George W. Bush was in it. Yeah, it was stacked. Abraham Lincoln guest starred. Plato the philosopher was on one. He had an arc. He had a story arc, multi-episode arc.
That's impressive.
Seventh Heaven, man. You wouldn't know it. It was originally written by Shakespeare.
That's great.
He wrote the first season, and then they passed it off to a little-known writer, Tom Clancy.
Wow.
They took a different direction. It was a stacked lineup, though. Let's see. This lady today is 62.
60.
She is 63.
Oh, dude, we have been off by one all morning.
Doug, give me an answer before you tell Steve-O, and I'll get it right.
Oh, man. I couldn't understand
We've
that.
We've got a secret language.
Oh.
Yeah. It usually involves holding hands and stuff.
Next up, an English pop singer, songwriter, clothes designer,
Shakira.
Author,
Shakira.
And actress. She came to international prominence in the 90s.
What?
As Ginger Spice.
Ginger Spice. Oh, okay.
Then she went on to later leave the group due to depression and not being eye to eye with the other Spice Girls.
Amen. I think she...
That's the redhead, right?
Yep.
I mean, it makes sense.
I can't remember her name.
Jerry Halliwell.
Jerry Halliwell.
Dang it. Oh, my gosh. Okay. It's getting weird. 45.
Oh. 43.
42 years old.
Gosh. Oh,
my bad.
Spice Girls, oh.
Next up, singer-songwriter.
Jason Mraz.
And rapper. He is in Gym Class Heroes.
Oh.
Oh.
As well as doing some solo work.
What's his face? Crap, that's his... I can't remember his name.
Travie McCoy.
Travie McCoy, that's who it is.
34.
28.
33 years old.
Gosh, dude, we are so close!
And the last one this morning, an Indian-born American screenwriter, film director, producer...
M. Night Salad!
Yes.
I don't care what anybody says, I love his movies.
M. Night Salad.
I don't care what anybody says, minus the salad movie.
Yeah, let's talk about his movies.
Okay.
I know where they went wrong.
Where?
Well, I'll kind of take that back, because Lady in the Water was still good.
I thought you were going to say Lady in the Water, I was going to fight you.
No. But what happened was his biggest movies, He had a co-writer because he was partnered up with Disney, and Disney was like, hey, your ideas are freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But you need somebody to kind of come in and help you streamline them a little bit.
Yeah. And so then, Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense.
Dude, Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
One of the best movies.
Signs. The Village. And then Lady in the Water was the one where he went on his own.
That one is fantastic.
It's a great movie. But that's where things started getting shaky.
No!
Because what happened after Lady in the Water?
That whole thing started with a concept for a children's story for his daughters.
Right. What happened after Lady in the Water?
Was it the
what happened was I went to college and I couldn't help him anymore.
That's right, Doug. And we are forever in your debt. But yes,
it was
The Happening,
right? Which to me is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Ugh.
Gosh, that movie was so
That really
bad.
Does rank up there in the worst movies
no,
ever
I'm
made.
No, I'm being serious. I'm
but
not
it had the, one of the best trailers ever. If
right.
you guys remember the trailer,
totally.
It was like, dude, this movie's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And then it was like, aw.
Okay.
Plants it are was, out to get us.
Oh, it was crazy.
The plants. The plants are going to kill us now?
My favorite is when they're running from the grass. But they're in the grass, but they're running from the wind in the
right.
grass. Like, it's like, oh, but the grass is going to get us.
It doesn't
oh,
make sense.
Gosh, that movie's so bad. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. We should watch it again.
The idea of the Earth taking revenge on humanity like
right.
it's a scourge, like a germ, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
So I feel like the idea is good, but the execution was just horribly
terrible.
Wrong. And that's one of Mark Wahlberg's worst movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's horrible in that movie.
They're all horrible in that.
Ugh.
John Leguizamo, like, I felt bad. I think it was just what they were given.
It had to be.
What did he do after that? Oh, Avatar.
Yep. The Last Airbender.
My boys loved that movie.
That does not count as a good movie either.
No, it doesn't.
And then he did... But see, now he's moved into an executive producer role.
Yeah, so Devil...
That
was
movie was...
fantastic.
That movie was good. Doug, did you see Devil?
No.
Oh, I own it! I'll
it
let
was
you borrow
good.
It.
And he's about to do a show.
What?!
There's a TV show that he's in charge of coming out.
And every episode, twist ending...
Yeah.
Everybody's dead.
One twist ending is you're going to turn the TV off and turn around and the cast is going to be in your house.
What?
Scary.
Oh, man. M.
Scary.
M. Night, I can't stay mad at you, M. Night. So good. He's 47.
M. Night is 43.
He is 44 years old.
Gosh.
This is ridiculous.
Are you kidding me?
No.
On to dates.
Every
twist ending.
Every single birthday.
We were right.
Oh.
This same one year, the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia began to debate a draft of the United States Constitution. This song is actually based on that.
It is.
1775.
What was the question?
On this same year, the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia began to debate a draft of the U.S. Constitution.
1774.
1787.
Right, because...
That makes sense.
Okay.
We're thinking of the Declaration of Independence.
On this day, one year, convicted murderer William Kemmler became the first person to be executed in the electric chair as he was put to death at Auburn State Prison in New York.
You can't play the electric slide for this, Doug!
Why not? It's electric.
There's your commercial for today.
Okay.
Hang on, let's dance while we do it.
I'm not dancing with you. Okay, will you stop doing line dancing in the studio, please? Stop bumping me!
Bump and grind, babies!
Okay. I mean...
Ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
Well, my mind's telling me no.
But my body's saying electric chair.
On this day... Well, they had to have electricity, I'm thinking.
That's a good idea.
So I'm going to go early 1900s, 1929.
1888.
1890. Oh. I need somebody. On this day in what year the album Help by the Beatles was released?
66.
64.
65.
No! Gosh, dude, we are so close. I'm getting mad.
On this day in what year... Former White House intern Monica Lewinsky spent 8.5 hours testifying before a grand jury about her relationship with President Bill Clinton.
Doug, you're the best!
92.
Wasn't me.
1994.
1998. Oh, okay, took a little time.
On to number one songs.
Takes a little time sometimes.
Ooh, Hello, I Love You, The Doors. 19. I love you, won't you tell me your name? 19. Oh, man. 71. Mm.
1969.
1968.
Oh, man. Really did almost say that.
Today is Fresh Breath Day.
Oh, I was
it is Root Beer Float Day. And it's Wiggle Your Toes Day.
Hey, I'm wiggling.
This song will forever remind me of Emma Stone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which movie is it in?
She lip-synced this on Jimmy Fallon.
That's
for
funny.
The lip-sync battle.
And it was perfect.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen. Oh my gosh. Emma Stone, I know you're out there listening because you love our show because we're hilarious. You're great. You're great, Emma Stone.
We love you.
We do.
Thanks for being our girl, yo. Send your cash money over here. What's up?
No, J-Law's your girl. You're not allowed to do that.
Thanks, Emma Stone and J-Law, for being my girls. Steve-O doesn't like you either. Steve-O says he loves Sigourney Weaver. He'll stick with her.
Didn't he say he loved Gwyneth Paltrow?
What?
Yeah, he did. I heard that too.
No,
he
nobody
said,
oh, says
man,
that.
Oh, man, Gwyneth Paltrow
Literally
is my
nobody
favorite.
Nobody says that.
Chris Martin does.
Oh.
He did.
They're back together.
Are they?
Yeah. Here, I'll tell you who you can have. You
Will
can
you
have.
Stop it!
Doug, who can he have?
Oh, we've got a great show today. It is Wednesday!
Melissa McCarthy.
Yes, 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 yes.
My
She's
wife loves
hilarious.
Melissa McCarthy. She's
exactly.
hilarious. She's hilarious. I'd hang out with her all day long. She's funny. Coming up, we got Comics Corner. It is Wednesday. We got some giveaways for you, including copies of Noah on Blu-ray, courtesy of Paramount Home Media Boom. Distribution. Bah. Yeah.
When are we going to start giving away Five Iron ticket?
Oh, Five Iron! Big announcement yesterday, if you missed it, Five Iron Frenzy. They're coming in September. Tickets available August 15th.
August 15th. And listen, guys, from the initial response, they are going to go fast.
They will sell out
August
the day they go on
15th.
Sale. I'm willing to bet.
Yeah, it's not a big venue.
It is next Friday, a week from Friday, tickets go on sale.
And check this out.
Put
Listen to this lineup, people. You got Archibald.
Yes.
Is going to play.
Yep.
Archibald, local favorite. And then you've got the Echo and Green.
Yep.
Local favorite and national band with Chrissy in it. And then you've got Five Iron Frenzy.
Dude.
Who hasn't played here in 10 years.
First tour, EG and Five Iron together. It's going to be ridiculous. Reese and Joey are both stoked, so.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Tickets are $20. All the proceeds go to Static. They're going to be $25 at the door. If there are any left over, there will not be.
Right.
They go on sale August 15th.
I'm telling you.
You need to be ready.
Coming right back, we got some Andrew Rip, some Nine Inch Nails, and more Team Awesome Morning Party.
No! Static.
Hey guys,
it's traffic in the morning.
Nothing to report other than the construction that we talked about earlier.
Yep.
So I-25 in Paseo. Also, we have right lane closed due to construction. I-40 west at Unser, and road construction. The roadway is reduced to 2 lanes. Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Happy Wednesday. We are excited you are joining us, and it's time to play a game.
Yay, Doug!
Up for grabs, we got copies of Noah, the Blu-ray combo pack. Blu-ray, DVD, HD, digital copy. Courtesy of Paramount Home Media Distribution, of course, Noah, starring Russell Crowe, Emma Watson, Jennifer Connelly, Anthony Hopkins. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. 3700. I got a new game.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Let me know about this game, man.
Oh, yeah. So it's an easy game, I believe.
Okay.
We'll see how the people fare for copies of Noah on Blu-ray. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Our first challenger is thus. Hello.
What up, dudes?
Hurricane Shane.
What's up, man?
What's up, guys? How are you this morning?
Good. Can't complain. How are you?
Dude, I'm sick, bro.
No!
I know. And who gets sick in the summertime, honestly?
You do?
Evidently.
Evidently.
Horrible. Horrible.
Well, while you're stuck at home, being
oh,
sick.
No. I'm going to work.
Oh. I was going to say, maybe you can score a copy of Noah and then watch it from the comfort of your resting area, but I guess not.
I'll make it an early day, dude, and try and all get
right.
that done.
All right. I like that. Here's the name of the game. Name of the game is Breakfast Bingo. Here's what we're going to do. It's breakfast time, right? Rocking a muffin over here, courtesy of Sopo. I've got five questions. Each answer begins with the corresponding letter in the word B-I-N-G-O. Bingo, all right?
So
I got five questions, and the answer starts with the B-I-N-G and O. I'm not going to give them to you in order, of course. So you've got to spell bingo with your answer. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay. Here, I'll give you an easy one to start. All right, let's see. Okay. This might be complicated. Home of the infamous tea party.
Mm. Home of the infamous tea party.
Yeah.
That's the easy one?
Yeah, dude, the tea party that happened. It's known as the blank tea party.
Oh, Boston.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's the B. There's the B.
There's your B.
All right.
All right. Now I'm going to go a little out of order, so you know.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Yep.
What happens in the most famous city stays in this state.
Ooh.
Okay, so that's going to be Nevada.
All right. I think you're getting it. There's your N. We're looking for an I, a G, and an O. This is a Canadian province.
Ooh.
Ontario.
Oh!
Nice, Shane.
Yeah.
All right. Need two more letters here.
Good buddy.
This country is shaped like a boot.
This is going to be Italy.
Yeah! Oh. All right. So if you've been paying attention, you should know what letter you need because this one's a little harder. This is the home state of former president Jimmy Carter.
Okay, bro. Gosh.
I know what it is.
Can Kayo give me a 50-50?
Can I give him a clue?
Friend.
Can I give him a clue?
Can you give me a clue?
No!
Just a clue.
Come on! I've been killing this!
You have. Now you have to live up to your own height.
Oh, for the love of God. I'm going to say Nebraska.
Nebraska! Nebraska!
All right, New Hampshire.
Nebraska and New Hampshire are both wrong.
Yeah.
Because you already got Nevada in. You already got an N. You already got the N.
Oh, I already got an N.
You needed another letter.
What did I need?
I'm not telling you because somebody else is going to try and play now.
All right, buddy. Good luck to that person.
Right. Hey, you feel better, Shane.
Feel better, Shane. I'm sorry.
Feel better.
Shane. Hurricane Shane.
He's gone.
He tried. He didn't feel well. He didn't feel well.
If he would have been 100%, he would have got it.
He would have got it. He would have got it. Hurricane Shane. Sad he doesn't feel well. We have a copy of Noah. Whoops. Press the button again.
No, we don't.
They all got deleted. 505.
They're all gone.
338-3700. Breakfast bingo. Now I'm going to have to change up some of these questions because people know now.
It looks like old Doug's over there fielding
phone
calls. Phone
lines are jammed. Breakfast bingo.
Okay, so they're guessing and they're taking the letter, the first letter, and spelling something.
Spelling bingo.
I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. I was thinking about
spelling bingo. So he got it. He got 4 of 5. That was really good. That was really good, Hurricane Shane.
That was. He was killing it.
We'll see what happens here. Static.
Hey, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, have you been paying attention?
I have.
Okay.
Ooh.
So you probably know some of the answers to some of these questions. unless I changed them.
Oh man.
All right, we'll go easy. We'll go easy to start. All right?
All right.
Home of the infamous Tea Party.
This would be Boston?
Oh. That's good. The game is Breakfast Bingo. You got the B. We're looking for I, N, G, and O. All right. This is the one that tripped up our dear friend Hurricane Shane. Home state of former president Jimmy Carter.
All right, so that's the G for Georgia.
Georgia! Georgia on your mind.
That's right. My clue was going to be peanuts.
This film starred Leonardo DiCaprio and was directed by Christopher Nolan.
Man, let's see.
Come on, you got this. I'll give you a clue.
Bob! Stop it! No clues.
Directed by who?
Christopher Nolan. You can't Google.
That doesn't help. Let's see.
Come on, man.
Got the B. Got the G.
The Bee Gees. You got the Bee Gees.
If only the Bee Gees were here to help me right now.
Come on, man. You got this. Think about it. Dream about it.
Gonna need an answer. Phone lines are jammed.
You have 5 seconds.
Uh-oh.
4 seconds.
I.
3 seconds.
4.
2 seconds.
Inception.
Somebody told you that answer, buddy. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get that? Did you Google that?
No.
Did somebody tell you that?
Nope. I'm driving by myself.
All right. This dude lives in a trash can.
It's not Isaac.
Okay.
This dude lives in a trash can.
That would be Oscar the Grouch.
Oh! Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. You confident in the last one?
Let's have it.
All right. Just got to think of a question.
This is where the White Queen is from.
The White Queen?
Yep.
Oh, man.
That's her name, right?
What's that?
I'm talking to Steve-O. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where the White Queen is from.
The White Queen. The White Queen from... Narnia?
Is the answer Narnia?
Did you say Narnia?
Narnia? It's pronounced Narnia!
It's Narnia.
You live in New Mexico. Well, I'm assuming.
Narnia?
Yeah!
What's your name, man?
Mike.
Mike?
Yeah.
That's right. All right, Mike, hang on the line. You scored a copy of Noah on Blu-ray and DVD, courtesy of Paramount Home Media Distribution. That was a fun game.
That
took forever!
Super fun!
Gosh! More copies of Noah coming up. If you didn't win, your chance. It's on the way. On Team Awesome Morning Party, Narnia!
Broadcasting of the Disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show.
What?
Enjoy the show.
No. Oh, good grief. All right, it looks like traffic's pretty stacked up around I-25 and Paseo. Which is a typical morning time thing, especially if you're eastbound on either side of 25. It's going to be a rough little go of it. But also, there's an accident reported at Old Coors Road at Central Avenue. We have an accident reported at Louisiana Boulevard North at Gibson Boulevard. We have construction. The roadway is reduced to two lanes, Rio Bravo Boulevard at at Isleta Boulevard Southwest and I-40 West at Unser. The right lane is closed due to construction.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Well, good morning.
Hey, well, good morning.
Well, good morning.
How you doing out there?
I'm excited. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, of course, Comics Corner brought to you by Astro Zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Comic shop here in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of comics.
There are a lot this week.
Gosh.
Many comics this week.
My wallet is very light today.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. But first, random phone call?
Is it?
Yes, and it's Matthew from Albuquerque.
Hey, Matthew from Albuquerque!
Hey, guys, I got some news for you. Our person I was supposed to have on a three-way actually is at school right now in 0 hours.
School always gets in the way of those things.
So she asked me to tell you guys yesterday is her 14th birthday. Her name is Sarah Montoya. She's in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Her birthday is today?
Yep, and she's one of my fans out of Santa Fe.
Oh, man. Happy birthday, Sarah!
Fans out of Santa Fe. Matthew from Albuquerque.
Matthew,
now, here's the thing, Matthew. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
That's okay.
It's 7 o'clock hour.
Oh, and it's so 7 you're o'clock used hour, to, huh?
You usually call us in the 6 o'clock hour, so this is a whole new audience. People might not know who you are, so tell everybody a little about yourself.
So, basically, guys, I am a 15-year-old now sophomore at Pasadena Vista High.
Go Hawks!
I also manage their football team along with 5 other fabulous managers. And I am also this favorite daily caller to Static Radio.
Whoa.
And I give shout-outs, prayers, and
missing
basically
people
I announce information, yes.
That's right. He's our information bank.
And since you're so good...
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got some good news.
You got good news? You.
Okay.
Yes, for you fans out there that want to get in touch with me a little easier than an email, on my website, if you go there and click Contact Matthew from Albuquerque, there is a number on there. I got it via one of those texting apps.
Oh.
It's a random number, so the area code isn't going to match New Mexico because it's an Arizona code, but it still works all the same.
Okay.
You guys can text me unlimited. If you want to call for me, send the word call. And I will call you with the block number to protect my phone number.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering how safe that is for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Don't do
now,
that.
Now, guys, I won't just call anybody, though.
Right.
Unless I have to really know you first. If I don't know you first, then you won't get a call from me. You'll only get a text message. Mm. Now, the good thing about this thing is it's free. Now, if I don't respond to you guys, I'm sorry because I'm in school. Or I'm not on the internet, because this app requires me to have internet when I use it.
I see.
Nice.
So if you guys out there want a shout-out, send me a text on that number. And I will give you guys a shout-out once I get the message on there.
Well, all right.
Sounds good.
Now, yes. Matthew, we need your help now, sir, because we've got a lot of friends in the Albuquerque area who, for one reason or another, just seem to have missed each other by moments.
Yeah.
And missed each other by moments, huh?
We need some help. One person chimed in and said, "Hey, Albuquerque, remember me? I'm living clean and loving life in beautiful Alaska, but I can't quit thinking about Doug." Are you out there,
handsome?
Oh,
wow. That's pretty nice of them to say that.
Hey,
Doug is an awesome person, too. I do have to say that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's this same Doug, because it's W4M.
Yeah.
W4M. What's
that? That's a woman for man. She's looking for Doug.
Ooh.
Happened on Craigslist.
So I see what's going on there.
Yeah. Doug's wife's going to be upset.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Here's another person we need help with.
Hmm.
At least we'll always have Leroy Jenkins.
Amen.
I said I was excited about it.
You
said you weren't. Caught me by surprise. I may possibly never see you again. A little dramatic, I know, but then Albuquerque's a small town. I think you know where to find me.
It's not too small.
I feel a little silly posting this, but I'm kind of a silly girl. What? It's a chick.
That one's confusing.
She's looking for Leroy Jenkins.
Well, for the person out there that's looking for Leroy Jenkins, keep looking. You'll find him sooner or later. You just got to keep looking really hard.
That's right. I think if you look in the Dragon Throne Room... You might be able to find him, but you need to run in there first.
Yes!
Don't wait on your team.
Leroy Jenkins!
Hey, Matthew, I've got another one, okay?
We got one.
Go ahead.
This one's titled, and this is from a man for a woman, okay? Mm-hmm. Flying Star Downtown, You're Why I Go In.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You're hang on. You're the inspiration for my poetry. And you are why I go in so much. Your smile brightens my day as I question the meaning of life and seek to understand the dancing yellow frog.
What?
You weren't there this weekend. How I hope that it is something that is self-contained. And that is why, and that when I see you again, my heart will soar.
Huh.
Do you have any idea who he could be talking about?
I think he's talking about a chick that works at Flying Star.
Downtown.
Huh. That could be the case. So yes, that could very well be.
I think what gave it away was when he said that I see you at the Flying Star Downtown.
Now, Matthew, do you have any information about the mystery of the dancing yellow frog?
No information about that, but if you're looking for a dancing yellow frog, keep looking. You might find it. It's just going to be a little hard to find because in my mind, I've never heard of one.
Okay.
So, it can be out there. Now, there's things in this world that are surprising and real, real hard to find.
Right.
But you'll find them. You just got to keep looking. And
I like that attitude. That's a good attitude.
That's a good attitude.
Yeah. See, guys, I always like to stay positive. You know, it's always good to be positive.
Yeah,
even through the hard times, it's going
to
make your heart stay positive. But, you know, I've learned in high school, hey, you know what? Anything's possible is a good attitude.
I like that,
true
buddy.
True dat, dog. True dat.
So, yeah. You guys like your little thing on my website, right?
Yeah, we do. Dude. It's pretty cool. You need to just be careful. You never know what could happen with that.
Thanks for putting our little thing on your website.
Yeah.
You are more than welcome, guys. Hey, can you guys give me a song request, please?
Yes, we can.
You see, this morning, I want you guys to play me something. Do you guys have anything, like rock that'll wake people up?
Heck yeah, yes. We do. We got tons of that stuff.
Well, I want you guys to play something, and this is going out to all of the incoming freshmen and class of 2017. Incoming freshmen, good luck in high school. Need any help, ask one of the upperclassmen to help you out.
Yeah.
Class 2017, don't forget your registration is today. Starts at, I believe, 9 a.m.
Visit right.
Volcano Vista Hawks, IUPS.edu for the more information.
I love it, buddy.
You guys have a good day. I'll call you guys tomorrow.
Go Hawks!
Oh, can't wait!
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks! Matthew from Albuquerque,
Matthew.
Everybody. If you miss out on Matthew every day, you're just missing out.
Yeah, he usually calls in early in the 6 o'clock hour, so yep. Once school's back in, I'm sure that you people will be around.
Yeah, 7 o'clock hour seems to be the time. All right, it's time to get people up and excited and going, apparently.
Let's do it,
on the way back, we got some requested music from Matthew from Albuquerque. We also got some City in Color, some House of Heroes, and, of course, Comics Corner.
Woo!
It's around the corner.
Around the corner!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static!
3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Oh yeah.
Let's do some traffic. Traffic is cool when you wanna be with.
Why are you mumbling?
We do have some things going on, and I can't mumble them.
You can't. Mumbler!
Mumblah. So we have an accident reported at Old Coors Road at Central. We have another accident at Louisiana Boulevard north of Gibson, and then we have construction I-25 in Paseo. And there's a lot of congestion around that. It's basically like I-25 in Paseo has the flu, and you are the loogie. And you are trapped somewhere within the sinus cavity.
Beautiful.
Also, we have road construction, roadway reduced to 2 lanes, Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest, and right lane closed due to construction, I-40 West at Unser Boulevard. That's exit 154. That's your look at traffic!
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert Campus. Phone number is
505-338-3669.
Are you ready for this segment? I love this hour. I love it.
No!
I'm starting it without you. I'm doing it. I'm doing it!
Oh, nerds!
to the idiot mobile.
Hey, it's Comics Corner. I'm really gonna be a good one. Really, really cool.
Doug, kiss me.
Stop it!
Let's do it, nerd.
Let's do it.
What? Comics Corner! It's time. Everyone's favorite hour of Team Awesome Morning Party. Mm-hmm. Comics Corner brought to you in part by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. AstroZombies.com or 232-7800. It's 232-7800. And if you're new to Comics Corner, it is our hour-long discussion.
That's right. I want to give everybody a brief update on the best movie out right now. It's called Guardians of the Galaxy.
What?
It's already made $106 million.
Wow.
It's only been out for a few days. And I'm excited. That's
We've
all.
We've seen it twice.
Yep. I seen it twice.
Yeah,
I think it's probably my favorite movie of the year. Captain America was my favorite movie, but I think this one might have taken the cake because it's funny.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Of course, Captain America was funny, and it was funny in the right places.
It really was.
But it was like a more serious action movie.
I don't know if I could say that. Spoiler alert. Never mind. Yesterday, we were at Astro Zombies, and Josh Brolin... had just been in there.
No, people know. People know he's in the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was widely known. Huh?
I didn't know.
Oh, well, it had been said. It had been stated.
I didn't know. Like, when he showed up, I was like, ah! Ah! So, Thanos.
Yeah, Josh Brolin.
In Astro Zombies. Guess
who?
He's filming a movie here.
Yeah, they put it in there intentionally to... that's, like, one of the biggest connections it has to the Marvel Universe. Because at the end of Avengers, if you remember... in the credit scene, this dude turned around and smiled, and everybody was like,
Who is that?
And then every comic nerd was going, oh my gosh, that's Thanos! That's freaking Thanos!
I immediately got phone calls from friends, neighbors,
yeah,
strangers.
I got texts.
Hey man, who's that purple guy?
Yeah, hey.
Who's the purple guy?
Who is that at the end of Avengers? That's Thanos.
It's like, dude, Thanos.
Oh,
the Mad
who
Titan.
Is that? Google it.
Gosh. Josh Brolin's in town,
mm-hmm.
filming a movie along with the Collector. From Guardians of the Galaxy, Benicio del Toro, he's in town as well. And I'm like, dude. I want to see them.
Our buddy Scooter got to meet Josh Brolin at Astro Zombies. Man, that place, they just, like, crazy awesome celebrities just walk in from time to time to get books.
Yeah, like a month ago, we were in there picking up our comics, and Marjorie Liu was in there, the writer of X-23.
Yeah.
And she writes Black Widow, and I was like, what's going on? Astonishing X-Men, what, Marjorie Liu? Okay, I'm going to start here since we've been talking Thanos, if that's cool. Space in Guardians of the Galaxy. Thanos, the big purple guy in the end of Avengers and his moment in Guardians of the Galaxy. There's an original graphic novel releasing today. Ooh. In fact, it's called Marvelogan.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a Marvelogan.
Marvel original graphic novel.
This is written by Jim Starlin, who is the creator of Thanos and of the cosmic cool stuff that you know in the Marvel Universe.
Oh.
Silver Surfer, Adam Warlock. There's a ton of dudes that Jim Starlin was like the originator of.
He made up Silver Surfer?
He came back. He created the cosmic everything.
I thought for some reason that Stan Lee did that because that
did
was Fantastic
he?
Four.
I don't know. Maybe he did. Let's see who all
it could
Jim
be,
Starlin.
Or Jack Kirby, one of those guys.
Maybe it
could,
he did.
I don't know though. But Jim
Maybe
Starlin, the cool thing about it is Jim Starlin has had like a pretty rough relationship with Marvel.
Yes.
So much so to where a lot of people were pretty shocked when all of a sudden Thanos was in a Marvel movie. They were like, "Wait a second.
Yeah.
I thought Jim Starlin was on the outs with Marvel." And then recently it was announced, "Oh no, they're all good." And Thanos is back.
So he is best known for his cosmic stuff.
Yes.
He revamped Captain Marvel and Adam Warlock. He didn't create them. However, he created Thanos, Drax the Destroyer, Gamora, Shang-Chi. So he's written some pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, he's a fan, and he's an artist too. So he writes and draws his stuff.
And so it's really, 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 really cool to have him back because when I was a kid, he wrote one of the coolest, if not the absolute coolest series of my childhood. It was called The Infinity Gauntlet, and it was the first time ever as a child that you had Spider-Man and Wolverine and you had the Fantastic Four, and you, I mean, everyone who was everyone was in this comic miniseries because it took the entire universe to try and defeat the Mad Titan Thanos, who was this big purple guy, and he got the gauntlet, and it was crazy, and I'm not kidding, I remember walking in to the comic shop when I was a kid and seeing the first issue, the cover, and I lost my mind because of everybody that was going to be involved in it. Well, yeah. Jim Starlin's back, and he was like, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on in space. There's Guardians of the Galaxy now is bumping. We got Fantastic Four going strong. There's all kinds of cool space stuff. The Avengers and New Avengers are all kind of mixing into space with all their cosmic stuff. Let me bring it around full circle and show you how it's done.
Yes.
So Jim Starlin wrote this original graphic novel that releases today, Thanos the Infinity Revelation. And he said that the reason it's called Revelation is because it is definitely spiritual, and this is like the Book of Revelation.
Whoa!
This is the things to come, if you will. This changes the Marvel Universe. And there are some pretty incredible things in the Infinity Revelation that I don't want to super get into because I don't want to spoil it, especially if you are a Thanos fan. I will say this. It's a very interesting read. It features very, very prominently the return of Adam Warlock.
Ooh. Hey, did you know that in one of the scenes, I guess his cocoon is back there in the collector's?
Really?
Yeah, I read it yesterday. James Gunn was talking about, well, there's some obvious ones. Like, you got Cosmo the dog, and you got the dark elf, and you got the slither monster, and you got Adam Warlock's cocoon, and you got, and he just threw it in there, and I was like, what? But I didn't know Adam Warlock was in a cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember the movie Cocoon and its sequel, Cocoon 2. Again.
There's some cool concepts in here. Thanos, for those that don't know, Thanos is obsessed with death.
He loves death.
Yes, the character death, but death. All it's all death, death, death. He's a villain, obviously. And there's a character, Death, and she's basically the Grim Reaper of the Marvel Universe, and he is obsessed with her. He wants to get her her attention. He's in love with her. But something happens in the beginning of this comic, and I don't want to give too much away, but I'll say spoiler alert now if you're not planning on reading it, because this is one of the things I wanted to focus on, was the power that Death held over Thanos was all-encompassing. He devoted his life. Everything he did was for Death. And something happened in their relationship where she rejected him and denied him because he keeps coming back to life. Because he'll get killed, and he'll come back because he's this cosmic being, blah, 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 blah. And in this book, he has this revelation, if you will, that death has no hold over him. And since death has no hold over him, death has lost all power over him. And therefore, he doesn't serve death anymore.
Ooh.
And he basically shuns death and turns his back on death and says, you know what? You have no power over me anymore.
Whoa, you he breaks no, up with death.
You have no hold on me anymore.
Oh, man, I gotta read
because
that.
Because I'm not afraid of you. And so it was this incredible moment, and it was this deeply spiritual moment for me of like, dang, dude,
dang.
That's exactly what it is. When Jesus conquered the grave, he defeated death. And there was no more need to be afraid of it because death has no hold over us. There's no more sting to death because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you claim Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus and believe in his word and believe that what he did is true, that he came to this earth, died, and rose again and lives forever, that we will spend eternity with him, then death shouldn't have hold over us. It shouldn't have power over us. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be swayed by it, and we shouldn't make decisions in our life based upon death. And so it was this really great moment that completely changes Thanos as a character, and I cannot wait for the future. That's the beginning of the issue.
Whoa.
And it's a full graphic novel. A lot happens from that point on that I will not give away. If you're a fan of Jim Starlin, if you were a fan of the Infinity Gauntlet, if you love Thanos, I wouldn't say it's a jumping on point at all. It is the next step in Thanos. It'd be like picking up a Bible and jumping into the Book of Revelation first. You don't necessarily want to do that.
Hooray!
Go back, read the Infinity Gauntlet. There's some good, at the end of this book, actually, there's some great resources that are like, hey, if you don't know Thanos, these are some things you should have read before you read this bad boy. And it's like, It's magical. The Infinity Gauntlet, of course. The Infinity War. There's some new stuff. This is one of my all-time favorites. Thanos Imperative, because it was the end of the Abnett and Landing Guardians of the Galaxy run. And so it was the end of the Guardians, if you will, that I knew them as before they were rebooted. So Thanos Imperative. I have it all on my iPad.
This guy.
Got him on my iPad.
Anything I need, he got it, man. I'll tell you that much.
I got it, bro.
I'll tell you.
So Thanos, the Infinity Revelation, I got to be honest, I don't really usually buy original graphic novels. If I get a graphic novel, it's usually a collection of books. So it was one of the first times I've ever bought an original graphic novel, and I liked it because it's going to change the Marvel universe, the things that happen in here. So it was needed if you follow along with the cosmic stuff. But it was good. I felt like it was worth it picking it up. It was definitely out there. It's Jim Starlin.
It's cosmic.
It's cosmic. So I think like Alan Moore meets Jonathan Hickman, like really kind of out there cosmic stuff, to where you're like, this is deeply spiritual, and I'm trying to discern what it means. But
that's cool.
Yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed it. So there you go. Thanos, the Infinity Revelation graphic novel today. Where do you want to go next? We got so many books today.
Okay. Did you
Marvel, DC,
did you get to D? Or let's go to DC first. Because
DC's quick. I got to be honest. I dropped Batman Eternal.
He did.
And I dropped Future's End. And now I'm bummed because I will be going back to pick up Future's End.
What happened?
What happened is every single freaking DC book at the end was like, and continued next month. 5 years later in Future's End.
Aww.
Aquaman and the others I read. Swamp Thing that came out I read. Grayson, all of them ended with next issue, Future's End. And I was like, dang
Max.
It, dude. Gosh.
That's funny, too, because Max was saying, but it's just starting to get good.
And I was like, no, I'm quitting you, girl.
No,
I'm quitting you.
Stupid.
And I was like, I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean that. Hey, hey, come back. Come back, Future's End.
It's okay. I'm just a comic.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm an inanimate object with no feelings.
Aquaman and the Others, number 5 this week, wrapping up the first story arc for Aquaman and the Others, and I got to the end and it was like, okay, it was like cookie cutter, alright, we got this dude and he wants to take our stuff, but he can't have our stuff, big ol' implications, what do? We gotta fight this dude, the end, and then it was like, let's see who's still alive, 5 years in the future, future's in, next month.
Oh, look out.
So we got that this week. Grayson, number 2, if you haven't been following Comics Corner, Dick Grayson, he's the original Robin. He died. Or did he? Everyone thinks he's dead. The only person on the planet that knows he's alive is Batman, so he's the super agent. And it was a good issue because there were some conversations with Batman in this issue, talking about Dick Grayson's funeral and who all was there. And,
because he is dead to the outside
world. He's dead to everybody.
World.
Alfred, everybody thinks he's dead.
Except for Bruce.
So it got me excited because I didn't think about that, and it really focused on that in the sense of, hey, this is going to have some crazy implications because obviously eventually someday he's got to come back.
Right.
And so what's going to happen when, you know, Batgirl and now Robin and... Red Robin and Alfred and everybody realizes that he has been alive this whole time.
They're gonna be upset.
And Batman knew.
He's a knower of secrets.
Definitely not a superhero book. This is more of like a espionage. If you're into Mission Impossible type stuff, that's what it reminds me of. It's like this crazy Mission Impossible.
I love the cover art.
He's an agent, and it's very James Bond. Mm. Very James Bond.
James Bond.
In fact, he's in the UK, and there's a couple James Bond references in this issue. So it's definitely paying homage to James Bond and cool old spy novels. So I'm a fan of Grayson. I like what they're doing so far. It's been a departure from the comic book norm, especially with that.
Now tell the people about Swamp Thing.
We talked with Pastor Skip yesterday about Swamp Thing and what Swamp Thing's been doing. And the whole idea of identity. And there's some crazy stuff going on right now. But he's battling these people that he basically gave life to. And they became human. It was really interesting. They became human. They hated their existence. And so they did these really gnarly, seedy things. They were killing people and they were going crazy. And then they blamed Swamp Thing. And there was this amazing moment in the comic where all these bad things have happened to them. And they want to blame him. And he said, You cannot blame me for any of this. You chose this. I gave you life. Whoop. What you do with your life is up to you. Whoop. And you chose Whoop. This path. And I was like, conviction. This is good.
Conviction. Swamp
Thanks, Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing.
It's really interesting to see the different themes that are played out in comic books these days. Because, you know, as a kid, it was all just like punching bad guys and the hero saves the day. And now you're starting to see in art more and more these themes that were probably always there, but as an adult, you can better recognize them. And so there was a great theme. The theme really of this book was that very thing, identity and the choices you make and trying to pawn those choices on your upbringing mm-hmm. or something that went wrong in your life and how those really don't have power over you and they shouldn't define you or allow you to make decisions based upon them.
Yes.
So it was a great issue. Of course, next issue, we'll find out what happens five years in the future. Anyways.
So now to Marvel, because a lot of Marvel books came out. There was Rocket Raccoon number 2, of yep. course. There was the legendary Star-Lord number 2. Guardians is out, so we got to have a ton of Guardians books.
Yeah, that's one thing that's kind of frustrating right now. Huge fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, not just the movie, but the comic book. And so because Guardians, they knew. They had already started working on the second Guardians of the Galaxy film before the first one was even out. So they knew they had a winner on their hands. Mm-hmm. So with that, as you said, this week, Legendary Star-Lord number 2, Rocket Raccoon number 2. This last month, there was also Guardians of the Galaxy Most Wanted, which is a buddy comic with Groot and Rocket Raccoon. On top of the also Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon or comic.
Yeah.
On top of the cartoon that's coming
there's
out.
There's a cartoon. There's another series game. Called Guardians 3000 that I think you're going to like.
Yeah, I think I'm
going
to.
You'll like that one.
Yeah.
Because that stars a team from the original
and it was
Guardians,
like the original yeah
the original Guardians from the comics yeah. so a little bit of a
Gosh,
oversaturation some
way
would say.
Too much.
I don't think that Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord are going to last very long.
No,
I think Rocket okay. Raccoon's going to be a short series anyway, like
which
four
is cool
issues.
Scotty Young,
yeah,
we love Scotty Young's art normally, and he did a good job writing, but of all the solo comics, I thought the first issue of Legendary Star-Lord was the best.
And this is great, too.
Okay.
It continues the story. We meet his half-sister, or at least Ooh. I met his half-sister. You've All probably right. read about her before. And it's a cool, like, him getting out of a jam issue.
Okay.
And then at the end, there's, like, a villain reveal, and I guess that villain's gonna be the bad for the comic for right now, in the first arc. So it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like Harrison Ford or Han Solo, Indiana Jones-ish
yeah.
type stuff, but it's Star-Lord. And you notice how much he acts more and more like Chris Pratt's version of Star-Lord, which is not a bad thing.
No.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I feel really lame for talking about Chris Pratt's version of Star-Lord. So let's move on to
you know,
a different thing.
It's funny, though. When I was reading an interview, I've read so much about this film.
Yep.
James Gunn, when he was first approached for Chris Pratt, did you read that?
No.
He was talking about casting for Guardians of the Galaxy. It just goes to show, like, you never know and never to judge a book by its cover. Because he said they were discussing casting and someone mentioned Chris Pratt as Star-Lord. And he said, that chubby guy on Parks and Rec. First words out of his mouth when he thought of Chris Pratt.
That's funny.
Was the chubby guy
well,
on Parks and Rec.
That's everybody's first word when you think about Chris Pratt. Or it used to be.
Right. And so he totally blew him off, wrote him off, and now we have Chris. And I can't imagine anybody else being Star-Lord.
Nope.
Chris Pratt was fantastic.
He did a great job.
Great job as Emmett in the Lego movie. He's going to be in Jurassic World. This dude is...
He's going to be
a big
couple
star,
of good
man.
Years for this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people forget he was the main dude in the Lego movie, which was phenomenal.
He was fantastic. I loved that movie. So, yeah. So, Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, 2 solo books this week if you're a fan of Guardians. Same themes, same identity, really, as the Guardians movie.
Yes.
Comical, fun. Yeah.
A little rough around the edges.
A little bit. Speaking of fun, I want to go here.
Okay.
Superior Foes of Spider-Man. It's on issue 14. It's another one of those comedic books, if you will. It's all about these B villains in the Spider-Man universe who just suck. They can't rob banks right.
He can't do anything.
Overdrive tried to get away in a couple issues ago, and there was a school bus and children involved, and it was hilarious and terrible. And you never knew the backstory as to why. This issue is that backstory.
That's awesome.
You get the backstory of Overdrive as a character. Now, what was interesting is there was some depth a little bit intermingled with the comedy. So it's kind of reminding me of the Guardians of the Galaxy film, because this is a fully comical book where you can't really take the guys seriously at all because they're terrible bad guys, like Boomerang, who has a boomerang on his forehead and looks like an idiot. And Shocker. And all these terrible, terrible villains who are really B-villains. And one of them is Overdrive, who has the lamest power in the world because he has a motorcycle helmet for a costume, basically, and he can touch any car and make it super drive, basically, and that's his superpower.
Yeah.
So you get the backstory, and the backstory actually is that he grew up a huge, huge Spider-Man fan. Biggest Spider-Man fan in the
Overdrive
world.
Overdrive did.
Overdrive. Loved Spider-Man growing up. He read all the comics. He loved the Avengers. He loved Thor. He loved Captain America. But his favorite was Spider-Man. And so he tried all these different ways to get superpowers. He let spiders bite him and all these really ridiculously stupid things and get superpowers.
That poor dude.
And it always just landed him in the hospital. So he's approached by a villain. I won't say who. I don't want to totally spoil it. He's approached by a villain to basically do this job, and he'll give him these powers, and he doesn't know what kind of powers they are yet. So he starts thinking about Black Widow, Hawkeye, Namor, all these dudes who started as bad guys,
right,
and then became good guys.
Oh.
So he figured, I'll start off with the bad guys, I'll do something cool, Spider-Man will give me a high five, then I'm on the same team as Spider-Man. And so it was this really great story about this guy who grew up a fan of Spider-Man, and all he ever wanted to do was be a superhero with Spider-Man, and yet he made all of these really, really ridiculous choices to get there, and now he's a villain. And now he's stuck as this villain.
This is Overdrive, right?
And nobody, that speedster, the Overdrive,
this is Overdrive.
This dude
oh,
with the stupid helmet. So in the issue, you learn his origin. You also learn about the school bus and how that came about, how he hijacked a school bus full of children. It is one of the funniest issues I have ever read, not just of Superior Foes, but I'm telling you, Spencer knows how to write, because it actually ends with like a game changer. Oh, snap. This is about to pick up seriously.
Whoa.
Oh, it's so good. It's got everything. So it's got some action. It's got backstory. It's hilarious. It is one of the best comics I'm reading, because he's doing a good job of keeping the humor and the action and the fun and the crazy going at the same time. It reminded me of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It was a great blend.
This comic is like the Always Sunny in Philadelphia comic book.
So good.
It's ridiculous. And take that, you know, as you will.
Stupid.
Because that show's definitely not for kids. Sometimes it's not for grown-ups.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's hilarious. It's stupid. The origin is amazing. And I absolutely love Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
All right, did you read New Avengers?
I did.
Phenomenal
stuff happened. Speaking
of
Namor and villains.
Yes. Yeah. Phenomenal stuff happened in New Avengers this week.
Yeah, New Avengers issue 22 is out, and we just reviewed 21 last week.
Last week.
So we got a new issue immediately.
Boom, boom. Which was good, because last week was like this crazy cliffhanger.
Yeah, and so they needed to resolve it. They did resolve it. That's one thing that I value Marvel for, because DC, man, when Forever Evil came out, there was like delays, and then because of that, other books, and nothing was in sync, and things still aren't in sync.
Yeah. And it had resolution. That was one of the best issues, one of the best conclusions ever.
Yeah, so
to
there's,
a big old
there's
arc.
So much going
but
on
it
in
just
Avengers.
Took so long,
right?
And this was great, because it was solid resolution, and it came out the week after.
So
that was nice.
Yeah, so it was really good. Hickman is knocking it out of the park every time.
Every time.
So good. He's so good. I loved this issue. I don't want to say too much. Yeah.
You need to pick up new. This has huge, huge implications and big themes in it, too.
Which is why they put it out the week after the last issue.
Yes.
Because it's like, hey, I know, remember what happened last issue? I know, right? Crazy. Here's how it resolved so that we can move forward with literally every other comic in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
So...
it's a big deal.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge deal, so we don't want to say too much about it other than Jonathan Hickman is brilliant.
Yes. Another big deal that came out this week was Miracle Man number 9, and the first thing I noticed about this comic was not only did it have the special parental advisory thing where it normally is, but it also has another one right
no
under
way.
The number 9. It's got two mature content parental advisory
right on the cover.
Contents on the cover, and I was like, well, what's in here? Oh, when you look up Miracle Man, you read how there was this very, 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 very graphic and controversial issue when it was an Eclipse comic back in the 80s, and I have that issue now, and I know
man.
What it's about. The wife character has a baby, and we see every step of that process,
okay.
because they don't pull any punches when it comes to drawing
okay.
the birth of a baby. Yes. But the thing about it is the title is Scenes from the Nativity.
Ooh.
And the things that it discusses in here are pretty incredible because
okay.
it's all about the importance of life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a quote in there about like birth and death. And it says, this is when we are fully real.
Wow.
It's like those huge moments
yeah.
in your life when it's like the things that really matter go. And everything that's not real just kind of goes back
right.
burner, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a big deal in real life. And so I totally was like, whoa, Miracle Man. Oh, why did they draw that? Oh, but big issue and a huge thing happens at the end of the issue where you're like, oh, because this baby is definitely not normal.
Okay.
It is the,
got
the baby
you.
Of a Miracle Man. So we see craziness go on. Also, Moon Knight number 6 came out. This was the last issue by Warren Ellis and Declan Shalvey, the team that's had the first 6 issues.
Okay.
It's great.
Brian Wood jumping on to the next issue
yes.
writing. I'm really
And there's a little preview. A little preview at the end of this issue.
All right.
Of that.
Can I pick that up and read it even though
yes.
I haven't read like the last
Yeah, the
three
thing
issues?
About Moon Knight, all of these stories have been self-contained. You could
oh, okay.
totally just read this.
I'm going to read
Every
that
issue has been a self-contained story.
I like that.
And I actually hope that the new
Brian
writer,
Wood.
Brian Wood, starts taking things in arcs
yeah.
because I think that would be really good for
the
character.
He's really good at arcs. He's definitely
good.
Not like your, hey, one-off.
But that's what Warren Ellis said he was going to do from the beginning. He said, okay, I'm going to do Moon Knight. I'm only going to do a few issues, and every issue is going to be self-contained.
Wow.
And
I like
they've
that.
Been great. They've been sporadic.
Right.
But we've seen different... you know, things about Moon Knight.
So for those that aren't super comic fans, normally you get, you know, we say an arc, Aquaman and the Others number 5 came out this week, mm-hmm. and that was the conclusion of this 5-issue story arc.
Yes, that's called a story arc.
And so with comics coming out that are one-offs that just tell a self-contained story, it's actually kind of rare to
it's
have
rare
that
nowadays.
These days.
It used to be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started doing story arcs, and people were like, oh, eating it up.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and then they started doing universe tying whatever story arcs where every character was affected.
Infinity Gauntlet.
My good griefs, my good griefs. But anyway, Moon Knight, and I think if they make... a mature
TV series.
A lot of people instantly go to Punisher, but I say Moon Knight would be their
That'd
best
be cool.
bet because this guy is crazy. He's got multiple personality disorder. So think along the lines of Dexter,
okay.
except he's a superhero. This you need to read this one. This
okay.
is good, and it's not like for kids. Warren Ellis is known as... he does not write kids' comic
Yeah, the
books.
Last big Warren Ellis, I think, was Thunderbolts, though. It was the big one I read.
Yeah, and that was definitely the... he takes the comic book and turns it on its head.
There you go.
Another big... okay, do you want to talk about that
man,
one
Well,
or
I don't
this
know.
One?
Both of... here's the crazy thing. I read Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man number 4, and I was like, this is one of the best Spider-Man comics I've read
yep.
in a really, 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 really
is.
Long time.
It is.
And then I got to work and you were like, dude, you need to read this. And then I read that and I was like, that is one of the best Spider-Man comics I've read in a
Spider-Man,
really, really, really long time.
The movies aren't doing that great, but the comics are kicking butt right now.
Two fantastic Spider-Man comics came out today.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh!
The funny thing being that both of the Spider-Men featured in those comics are not Peter Parker. What's up with that?
What's up with that?
That's right. So, Superior Spider-Man number 32. Now, we all know Superior Spider-Man got canceled.
Yep.
Because Peter came back and retook over his body.
And Doc Ock is dead.
That's right. But there was a moment within Superior Spider-Man's run, I think it was issue 19, where he went to the future. Mm-hmm. And then he came back like a panel later and was like, the first thing he said was, "That was crazy," or something like that. And then it was like, doo-doo-doo, and he went on with his adventure. Well, then this starts off and it says, months ago. Mm-hmm. And we're right back at that panel where he goes to the future.
And let's be honest, sometimes when you go to the future, it seems like only seconds to us.
That's right.
You know, I remember that one time you went to the future.
Yeah.
And it was like, and but I was doing the morning show, and you were like, "I gotta pee." And I was like, "Okay." And then you were back like 8 seconds later, but you were like sweating. It was weird. And I was like, "Dude, what is that?"
I said, "I was watching Cops."
And it was like weeks later that
future.
You told me that you went to the future.
Yes.
And I was like, "Whoa, how long were you gone?"
But the funny thing was, weeks later, when I was telling you I went to the future, that was actually me from the past telling you, "I'm in the future."
Oh, my
God. I know.
Gosh.
Because at that moment, future me was at the bathroom.
What?
I know. It's confusing, but don't worry about it. Anyway, Superior Spider-Man in the future, and then all of a sudden, this villain starts popping up, and Spider-Man are dying.
I don't recognize him at all.
Yeah? But he's a classic villain.
He is. But is that a minion?
He's a neo
classic. Or is that... I don't know. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
So...
Because he looked cool.
Okay. Doc Ock goes to the future and he's like, "Oh my gosh, this is so stupid." And it's totally Doc Ock again. He's like, "Well, combined with my vast intellect that's that's what, 100 years ahead of its time anyway, I can just pick up technology here and get back to the past."
And
lickety split. And he does, except he crosses dimensions by accident, because we know with Doc Ock, he's super smart. And he usually just does one little thing wrong, and it throws everything off.
Yeah.
That was the whole Superior Spider-Man irony.
But we couldn't be more excited about it because it's creating Spider-Verse, this new series. I'm freaking out excited.
It's Spider-Man from different dimensions, so think multiverse. It's all we talk about nowadays. And the Spider-Man of each universe, boom, boom. Well, Doc Ock starts seeing this pattern because he pops into this alternate dimension and is like, "Something's not right. There's Spider-Man, and he's dead with these two giant puncture wounds." He's like, "Hang on, let's get back to the right one." And then he changes the channel, and he's still in the wrong universe, except it's a different one. And that Spider-Man, too, has two giant puncture wounds. So he starts noticing a pattern, and then Doc Ock, being Doc Ock, says, "I'm going to track this guy down and kill him."
Heck yeah.
And that is the beginning of Spider-Verse.
A brand new series. And I got to be honest, when they first announced Spider-Verse, I think both of us had the same reaction, like, that we thought it was a cash grab.
No. Yeah.
Because it was like, hey, we're incorporating literally every Spider-Man that has ever existed. Every iteration. Hey, remember that What If issue in 1987 when Spider-Man teamed up with the Fantastic Four? Mm-hmm. Hey, remember that one issue or that one annual where there was a What If story of Peter Parker? They're incorporating every Spider-Man. And so at first, you and I, being crazy Spider-Man fans, were like, cash grab.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to buy any of this.
Not again.
They're just trying to get our money. And then we read this Edge of Spider-Verse intro.
Awesome.
And it is fascinating.
The way they're handling it, too, going back to where, you know, we had Superior Spider-Man is great.
Yeah.
Because they actually set it up at the time. So it's like, oh.
They did set it up properly.
They did a good job. And this is going to cover, it's not going to include, like, our movie versions. So you're not going to see Tobey Maguire
as
Spider-Man.
God. He's like walking down the street. "Yeah, guys.
Yeah, emo.
I'm wearing all black.
Emo.
I got my hair in my
emo.
Face.
Look at me.
Dig on this." Unless, here's what would be great, is if Doc Ock transported to that universe and he had two holes in him.
Oh, that'd be
nice. Would be, yeah. I hope they do that.
I don't know. And then you're not going to see Andrew Garfield. You're not going to see certain ones that they like literally don't have the rights to.
But what about like Spider-Man and Friends?
He's probably in there. Who knows? Who knows?
And Iceman and
Starfire.
Starfire. Beep. They're just going to be like, "Hey guys."
Beep. Beep.
Speaking of somebody who is going to be in there, right? Is Miles? Miles is supposed to
Miles
be a part of it.
Miles is definitely going to be a part of it.
Which
Ultimate makes me
Spider-Man.
Wonder about this guy. Even
right?
More.
Oh, okay. Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man, Brian Michael Bendis has written this comic since the beginning.
The beginning!
And so this is like 100 and... No, it broke 200,
it did.
Didn't it? Yeah,
yes.
So this is like issue 205, technically. So, Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man. And I gotta tell you, dude, reading that comic, I texted you immediately when I finished it last night because I freaked out. If there is one thing that I love, it's when comics take me back to childhood and remind me why I loved comics as a kid. Mm-hmm. And this has all of those elements. The classic villain, the classic Spider-Man lines, the classic, oh no. I mean,
oh no, y'all, what's gonna happen now? Sucky thing about Ultimate Spider-Man is it only comes out once a month.
I know.
That's the one we have to wait for. But it's always worth it. That's the thing about it. That's the one that's like, man, what's going to happen there?
The art is incredible.
Who is it? Is it Sarah Pacelli?
See, that's who I thought at first, too, but it looks like it's Marquez now.
Yes, that guy, they have a similar style.
Gosh!
And it's wonderful. It's beautiful art.
It's seriously some of my favorite comic art. That is currently
everything
out.
Is understandable and clean, and it's stylized. It looks good. It's not too cartoony. It's not too realistic.
And what was this about?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who's the parents?
I don't know.
Anyways, Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man, does not disappoint. If you're a fan of Spider-Man, it is the perfect time to jump on.
Dude, okay. What needs to happen in this world is... Sony needs to say, okay, guys, look, we tried.
We made a mistake.
Because this is what I'm frustrated about. News came out a couple days ago that Sony is going to try to put out a female-centered Spider-Man film in 2017.
Yeah, can we talk about this?
Yes, we can talk about it, and we can hate on it because it's stupid.
I'm really frustrated. You know, they tried the Amazing Spider-Man. First one we thought was good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
The second one was good, but it's an emotional roller coaster. It's really heavy.
And so because of that, because they went that route and were like, we're gonna pull
we're gonna
this
do
trigger,
this.
If
we're gonna
you will.
Do this.
A lot of people were upset by it. And now Sony has decided to completely re-image everything because they're like, crap, guys. Well, we pulled the trigger. We did what we said we were gonna do. We didn't get the response we were looking for.
They wanted Spider-Man 2. To be a $1 billion movie. And they really legitimately thought it was going to be a $1 billion movie. Now, it's made about $750 million.
Pretty good!
Which, somehow, people are still saying that it was a failure. Yeah, $750 million failure. Okay.
So because of that, Sony's going back to the drawing board. They have pushed back Spider-Man 3 and have decided, okay, we got to do this villain movie now since we were setting all that up as well halfway through production of Spider-Man 2. So let's try and work on that. Oh, wait. You know what we should do? Chick Spider-Man.
So we don't know if it's going to be Spider-Woman. We don't know if it's going to be Black Cat, who they did kind of set up in Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was Spider-Man 2's flaw.
Yeah,
they got so, you know, Marvelized, sort of. They were like, oh, we got to do what Marvel's doing, except we have Spider-Man, and Spider-Man has the best rogues gallery in comics.
Let's introduce all of them right now within a 7-minute time frame.
There's two rogues galleries in comics that are the best. You got Spider-Man's and you got Batman's.
I was going to say,
those are the ones. Batman, I hope. Those are the two.
Yeah. I love The Flash.
Yeah, but Spider-Man's Rogue Gallery, it's the best one in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I saw a theory online about why Marvel's, the weak point in all the Marvel films is the villains, except for Loki. And so this person writing this article was like, they better make Thanos freaking awesome. Now, I thought Lee Pace in Guardians was great.
Me too!
He's getting ripped.
What?
Like, people are saying that he was a lame villain.
He was an incredible villain.
I thought it was
great
because he's kind of like a terrorist.
Yeah.
And I don't think people are really, that's not translating. It was like, a buddy of mine who like reviews movies and stuff for one of the newspapers back in Mississippi, one of the smartest dudes I know. I know he's from Mississippi.
Obviously not.
But for real, he was like, I thought Lee Pace was good, but I thought Ronan was a weak villain. And I said, not me, man. The terrorist angle was awesome.
Yeah.
He hated that peace treaty, so he was going to do everything he could. Because to me, it's like, that's exactly how terrorists act. They take one flimsy little reason, and they wrap their entire lives around it and say, I'm going to kill everybody because this isn't right.
Right.
And in the grand scope of things, it's a silly reason.
Right.
That's how terrorists work. So to me, it was like, this is a solid villain. Because that's real life.
Yeah, yeah.
We see that all the time, unfortunately.
As a fan of the cosmic universe in Marvel, I thought he was a fantastic portrayal of Ronan the Accuser.
Yeah. Because his whole thing is he accuses people of wrongdoing.
Right.
So there's not a lot of character
development. He's the Marvel answer to the Spectre, guys. Come on.
Yeah, come on. But anyway, all that to say, they set up this huge thing in the Spider-Man thing where they're going to have, okay, we were going to just do Spider-Man 2, and we were just going to do Spider-Man 3 and see if maybe we could do 4. But what we're going to do now is we're going to have Sinister 6, and then we're going to have this female-centered movie, and then we're going to have Venom Carnage. Did you hear about that?
I heard Venom. I didn't know that they were
incorporating. Now they're calling it Venom Carnage. And so, and then we're gonna push Spider-Man 3 back to 2018, and then we're going to come back with all these movies, and then come out with Spider-Man, and maybe it'll fix, maybe we'll retool it then, we don't
know. Sony, go home, you're drunk. You're drunk on PS4 love.
You are. What Sony needs
just
to do.
Just because the PS4 is doing so well doesn't mean that you're good at other things like movies.
Let me tie it all back to where I was going. Sony needs to sell the rights to Spider-Man to Disney. I was against this for a long time, but now I truly see the value in it, because the sad thing about Marvel's movies is we need that rogues gallery.
We do. And
you
I want to see the superior foes of Spider-Man on television.
Yes! How funny would that be? Also, incredible. Here's what you do, guys. Here's my theory. And we're running out of time, but I got to get my theory out there. Guys, we've had enough Spider-Man movies. We've had enough. Okay, what we do is we take the ultimate storyline of Spider-Man, we mix it with the 616, which is what Sony has been trying to do, and they have failed.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Spider-Man, or Ultimate Spider-Man, and regular old Amazing Spider-Man comics. We mix the storylines, we tie in Oscorp to the Marvel Universe, and we introduce that through a Netflix TV series that is incredible.
You're welcome.
You take the budget. You take, it's like the best looking TV series you have ever seen, because you basically give a movie's budget to a 12 to 20 episode TV series on Netflix. That's how we introduce Spider-Man. That way you don't really have to go back and cover his origin, because it can be a flashback scene in one of the episodes.
So then is it just going to be one season?
No.
So you're going to keep going? That's a lot of money. How do you keep it going?
It's
Terra Nova?
It's Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know. Did you see Terra Nova? That show was so great.
No. No.
But Terra Nova.
Stop it. This is what you do.
There were dinosaurs in it.
Check this out. Yeah, and they looked horrible.
They looked great.
They looked terrible.
It was the whole budget. That's why they couldn't keep doing the show.
Yeah, the whole budget was on one dinosaur, and then all the rest of them looked like Toy Story. Anyway, you do one season, and then Spider-Man pops up in a movie.
Okay.
And then you do another season, and then he's guest appearing.
You're giving some dude gold right now.
I know, and dude's not listening to me.
Ugh.
But that's the thing. If Disney were to buy back Spider-Man, that's how you reintroduce him. Because Spider-Man's stories, they're more relationship-based, and if you had a series, a TV series, that would be so much easier. And then you could get street-level Spider-Man. And since Daredevil's filming right now, and it's going to be on Netflix, we've got those stories. You've got an episode where Spider-Man doesn't do anything except chase this dude that's, like, stealing cats out of people's house or something. Seriously, how funny would that be? It would be great. And then you're not worried about fitting in the best rogues gallery into one movie, which is Sony's problem. Yeah. They're squandering all of it. That's what you do. That's Mateo's theory.
Giving away gold.
You're welcome.
Gold. Oh, man.
What was your favorite book?
My favorite book, gosh.
Mine's a tie between Superior Spider-Man and Ultimate
Mine
Spider-Man.
Mine too.
Which I'm so happy to say.
Because I don't know. We could paper, rock, scissors for which one's better, but I don't...
They're both great.
I feel like... Only because it featured, man, it featured Doc Ock, who honestly was such a refresher for me as a Spider-Man fan. Maybe I'll go with Superior Spider-Man 32. Edge of Spider-Verse is going to be incredible, I hope, Dan Slott, I hope. So we'll see. So I give the edge to Superior Spider-Man. But either way. Two Spider-Man
books
this week.
Way up.
Man, you know what? I guess that's it for us because it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Shock Therapy not live.
Oh.
Yeah. So, end
you
of
sure
the show?
You don't want to do any misconnections?
Oh, man, I know I want to so
Maybe
bad.
We can do more tomorrow.
All right.
Guys, don't forget Five Iron Frenzy. They are playing ABQ. The tickets go on sale August 15th, which is next Friday, not this Friday, next Friday.
We wanted to give everybody fair warning, a heads up, because listen, when these tickets go on sale, we believe they will sell out the day they go on sale. It's the Lobo Theater, it's a smaller venue, and because of that, man, you've got Archibald, you've got the Echoing Green, and Five Iron Frenzy playing a show at the Lobo Theater. Start saving now. Tickets are $20. They go on sale a week from Friday. Friday, August 15th, tickets are going on sale for the Five Iron Show. Don't be a Landa Manana person.
Don't do it.
We are definitely anticipating it. Selling out the day tickets go on sale because of the response. So yeah,
they haven't played here in 10 years.
Don't be that person that's like, I'll just get them at the door, because there you probably won't be any.
You will not get them at the door.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm telling you. All right. We've told you.
We've told you. We've warned you. We're going to warn you in the coming days.
We really are. Five Iron Frenzy, The Echoing Green, Archibald. Tickets go on sale Friday, August 15th for their show, September 18th.
Yep.
All right. That's it for us. If you missed any part of the show, you can catch the podcast at mystaticradio.com/mornings.
Woo!
You can subscribe to us on iTunes and it'll download for you every day.
That'd be cool.
And it's totally free.
Totally free, guys. It's a free thing. Why don't you just do it?
Just do it. Okay?
Just do it, you dummy.
Tomorrow, Theology Thursday, Missed Connections.
Woo!
Oh, man.
It's going to be fun.
It's Team Austin Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static!